On a recent trip overseas, the New York Times columnist Nicholas Kristof purchased a pair of slaves. Kristof was traveling in Cambodia, which is still recovering from years of war and genocide. And as he recounts in several recent columns, Kristof met a pair of young women who were being used as prostitutes. We've called Mr. Kristof to talk about what happened next and the questions that his story raises. Hi, Mr. Kristof.
Hi.
Can you just describe the situation first? Who's being enslaved in Cambodia and how?
There are hundreds of thousands of young girls, typically teenagers, who have been sold to the brothels, often by their parents, but also often kidnapped by neighbors, and are typically held in the brothels, and they're not allowed to leave, and very often they stay there until they're dead of AIDS. You know, it's the daughters who are being sold, partly because girls are not much valued in Cambodia, and mm-hmm. I mean, for the same reason, girls often don't go to school.
So you went to one of these brothels?
I went to a wild brothel district in a town called Poy Phet, which is one of the real cowboy towns in Cambodia, and went to many of the brothels, ended up purchasing the freedom of two teenage girls, one for $150, the other for $203. Amazingly, they even gave me receipts. I mean, that just blew me away in terms of the degree to which this was regarded as commerce. Both brothels gave me pretty straightforward receipts for buying these girls' freedom.
Now, as I understood your column, you went to this town because you wanted to do what journalists do about problems like this. You wanted to write about it. What made you decide to do something about it in the case of these two particular young women?
I had written about child prostitution in Asia back in 1996. I lived in Asia for years. Back then, I had been, you know, more shocked by what I'd seen in Cambodia, in those brothels, than by any war or natural calamity I'd ever seen. And so I wanted to go back and write about it again. I'd really been shaped, I think, by the recollection of what happened back in 1996. And in particular, there was one 13-year-old girl whom I interviewed at great length, walked out with my notebook filled, and left her, you know, to stay in the brothel, and I'm sure she's dead now. And so as I talked to these girls, Srinet and Srimom, I really didn't want to just write my columns and leave them behind to die of AIDS as well.
Can you tell me about Srinet and Srimom?
Srinet was a girl who came from a very poor family that was in danger of losing its land unless they could raise some money to pay back a debt. Her cousin persuaded her that she had to help her family by selling herself to the brothel. I took her back to the village, and what struck me about taking her back was, you know, she'd been away for 6 weeks. The family and the villagers were much more interested in my car than in her coming back. It was really a reflection of just how little value these girls have in their native villages and, you know, the reason that they end up in the brothels in the first place. But I left her a little bit of money, and so she built a little grocery store in front of her house and stocked it all for $100 and is now a grocer in her little village. I must say that, I mean, although Srinet's return to her village was kind of a letdown, we went back to Srimom's village. We had to drive all the way across Cambodia to get to her village, clear at the other end of the country. And wow, she had been away for 4.5 years. We rolled up in front of her house, and just the joy that one saw there was like nothing I've ever seen. Everybody was running up, screaming, crying, embracing. They thought she was dead. In fact, they were planning a kind of a Buddhist funeral for her in 20 days' time.
What had to go through your mind as a journalist before you made that decision to do something for them?
It's very unjournalistic. I mean, we're always trained, I think very properly, you know, not to intervene in the news. And in this case, the intervention was kind of central to the columns because I also took them back to their villages. Even though I think it was kind of a borderline thing to do, I am very happy I did it.
You describe a town that was full of girls, many of whom may have been slaves. Was it kind of an agonizing decision to decide to help these two and not to help the rest?
Yeah, it was. And it felt deeply uncomfortable for me because the criteria that I was using to pick which girls, you know, life effectively I might save, were in part journalistic. I mean, I wanted to find a girl who was articulate and, you know, who came from some village, some distance away. And that seemed, kind of shallow and sort of unfair when we were talking about human lives. And indeed, there was one girl called Jen who I thought I'd interviewed, and I thought that I would probably buy her freedom. And then when I went back to her brothel a couple of times to try to find her, I couldn't. And it was in the course of looking for her that I found Stray Mom. And so, Stray Mom is now in Phnom Penh and will be either a hairdresser or a model and is going to have a totally different life. And meanwhile, Jen is in her brothel in Phoi Phet and has no idea how close she came to having her life completely transformed.
One other thing I want to ask about, I know that in the past you've written about slavery in Sudan, which is a place where a lot of people have tried to buy the freedom of a lot of slaves. One of the things that you've observed in your own columns is that there are some people who fear that that's counterproductive, that it just perpetuates the slave market, that there might even be fraud going on with people selling slaves into freedom again and again.
I don't think that buying slaves is a solution to the problem, whether it's in Cambodia or in the Sudan. I mean, fundamentally, it creates incentives to traffic in people. Ultimately, the solution has to be about raising the status and literacy of girls and women. I think we can get real improvement in the situation. And if you go from having 13-year-old girls who are physically locked in the brothels and will die of AIDS to having 18-year-olds who are kind of coerced but are not physically imprisoned and who have access to condoms so that they don't die of AIDS, maybe from our perspective that still, it doesn't sound like much, but that is a huge improvement, and that is happening, and I think that is something that can, save an awful lot of lives in places like that.
We're talking to Nicholas Kristof, a New York Times columnist who recently bought the freedom of two slaves in Cambodia. Thanks very much.
My pleasure.